I've talked to you about that. Jeff is naturally funny. And I told him there's sometimes I'm going to use him, and I want to use him, but he's going to have to be not funny, or it's not going to work. And it's going to be hard for him. Okay, it is neighbor looking time. Glory to God. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to smile at your neighbor. I want you to point at your neighbor. And I want you to say, I came
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'm ready.
Are you ready
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'll never ever
be the same again.
In Jesus' name.
Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. He is my temporary fill-in neighbor until my permanent neighbor comes back. She'll be back with us soon enough. Amen. Glory to God. Pastor Sharon is doing much better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service. And Father, I thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened. I thank you the Scripture, the Word, comes alive to us. And we see it in a new way. We hear it in a new voice. Your voice. We don't hear my voice. We hear your voice. We hear your word to your people today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. I want to read you a song that I'm sure we all have sang. I know I used to sing it in the denominational church a lot. And it's a great song, but I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to sing it. It says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me that I'm His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Now that's a song that we probably all have sung at one time or another. But there's a lot of Christians that are just singing that song, but have never experienced the Lord speaking to them. Now, He's spoken to them. He's spoken to every Christian. But a lot of times we don't hear His voice. We don't recognize His voice. Now, John 10 and 27, if you go there in your Bibles, says, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Now, religion teaches us that we can't hear God's voice. The enemy tells us that we can't hear God's voice. But God's Word, the highest form of reality that exists, tells us, My sheep hear My voice. It doesn't say, Some of My sheep hear My voice. It doesn't say, Special sheep hear My voice. It says, My sheep, all of My sheep hear My voice. Now, before you were saved and before I was saved, God was talking to us, not by covenant, but by mercy. So even before we were saved, we were hearing His voice because He was wooing us. He's trying to get us to live for Him, to turn our life over to Him. So if you are His sheep, you do hear His voice. Don't believe the lie that you can't hear God's voice. That lie contradicts the Word. Don't believe the lie that God doesn't talk to you, because He does, and that's the truth. Now, what does God's voice actually sound like? Okay, impressions, an inward knowing, dreams for yourself or others, visions in your mind's eye or open-eyed visions, feelings in your senses, the voices and the counsel of others, coincidences otherwise known as divine appointments. A quickening of scriptures, of words or pictures. You know, sometimes the scripture will just jump off a page. Songs that are suddenly heard or come to your mind. Open and closed doors. A sudden memory. A voice in your mind or thoughts. An actual audible voice, it could be. A sign or a wonder. Supernatural events. Isaiah 30 and 21 in the King James says, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." Now, if I did a poll right now, and I said, how many of you have ever heard the voice of the enemy? I want you to raise your hand if you've ever heard the voice of the enemy. Okay, I believe everybody in here has heard the voice of the enemy. Now, if I did the same poll in some groups, and I asked them, had they ever heard the voice of God speaking directly to them, some people would say no. And that's a shame. It's because the enemy, he talks up a storm. He is in your face. He has a big mouth. And he lies. He is the father of lies. Sometimes he'll mix a little truth in so we can't detect that he's lying to us again. The enemy puts fear, doubt, and unbelief into our minds. A lot of times through questions. Did God really tell you, call so-and-so? Did God really tell you, pray for so-and-so? Did God really say you were healed? The enemy's biggest fear is that we will hear and recognize God's voice. And that God, we're going to get the revelation that God is speaking to us today. Now God is behind us. And God is speaking to us in our own way. Everybody hears the voice of God a little different. Isaiah 30 and 21 again in the Expanded Bible. If you go the wrong way, to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the right way. You should go this way. Walk in it. Train yourself to hear or practice hearing God's voice. We can practice or train ourselves by listening to hear God's voice on a much greater level. Now, a lot of people don't realize it. We think, well, it's up to God. He has to initiate it. Mm-mm. God's channel's broadcasting all the time. He's telling us stuff every single day. He's putting stuff out on the channel. And He's saying, here's my word to you today. Here's what I want you to do today. Here's my hopes for you today. Here's my encouragement for you today. But we're not hearing it because we're not tuned in sometimes to the correct frequency on the channel. And He's broadcasting. The channel's broadcasting. But we're not receiving. It's the receiver that's messed up. Not God's channel of broadcasting. It's not God that's the problem, it's us. It's on the listening end or the hearing end. You know, you've heard the joke, the guy, his wife, she can't hear very well, so he says something and he's behind her, honey, can you hear me? And she doesn't make, he said, you know, Micah, you know, if you hear me, just raise your hand. And he did it four different times, and the last time he gets right behind her, honey, can you hear me? And she says, I heard you all four times. She heard him every time because there was nothing wrong with her hearing. There was something wrong with his hearing. She was speaking back to him. 1 Kings chapter 19, and starting in verse number 11, and it's about Elijah. And he said, go forth. The Lord told him, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Now, one way that the still, small voice is speaking to us is through impressions. Well, I just felt like I should call Joe for some reason. Or I had an impression I should go see my aunt today. God was somehow encouraging us to do something. I just felt impressed to go a different way home. And I was there just in time to help someone who really needed me. What a coincidence. I ran into the person just when I needed his advice. Impressions. I asked God for a job, and then later the thought came to me about calling this one man and he hired me on the spot. For some reason, I decided to leave my job a few minutes earlier than normal and just missed that huge traffic jam. That's strange. I just dreamed that very thing last night. That's a divine appointment. I was really able to encourage Joe, and he was so discouraged, and I didn't even know I'd see him today. It's impressions. Follow your impressions. I know this week, Granny, we needed to take Granny to see the doctor. And her doctor was not open that day. It was Friday. And we were debating, you know, I don't know if you know how healthcare is now, but you just don't show up at a doctor's office that you don't know. You're not going to get to see them. And, you know, we're trying to figure out what to do in this situation. And said, well, we can go to the emergency room. And a lot of times, I don't know if you've ever been to the emergency room, but sometimes that's an all-day ordeal. And into the night sometimes. I know, sometimes. And we just had this impression, take her to urgent care. And now my mind, when I heard take her to urgent care, I was like, my mind said, you can't do that. I mean, that's just not going to work for her. That won't work. And I just kept getting that impression, just take her to urgent care. So we went to urgent care. The place was packed. I mean, there's cars everywhere. And we thought, it's going to be just like the emergency room. We took her in. All the cars, I don't know where the people were that involved those cars, but they weren't in this place. And we were like, there's two people in this place, and one of them is waiting for somebody else, and one of them is filling out the stuff just like we are. In 15 minutes, she got back to see the doctor. In 30 minutes total, we left, and he had already given her two prescriptions that she needed, and he'd already sent them to the pharmacy. I mean, it was a God thing. Now, I know a lot of people don't recognize things like that, natural things being a God, but I do. Because you have impressions, and God is trying to make our lives flow easier and better, and He's trying to help us if we'll just follow those impressions, those slight little impressions. I didn't hear a voice in a burning bush. I didn't hear, I just had a very faint impression, urgent care, and my mind cast it down first immediately. No, urgent care, no, that won't work. But that was it. Sometimes your mind will fight against that impression. That's going to be the very thing that God told you to do. Have y'all ever heard of Hoover Dam? Okay. I want to read y'all something. It says, Dr. Richard Eby, in his book, Caught Up into Paradise, relates this story. One scientist, decades ago, the father of Dr. Richard E. Eby, tirelessly and for many years worked on the electrical insulator called a bushing for General Electric. This bushing needed to be made to carry enough voltage to transfer electricity over long distances from Boulder Dam, which is now Hoover Dam, and no such insulator had ever succeeded. The White House and then President Hoover urged the senior Mr. Eby to solve the problem in a hurry. Eby never gave up, and he told God so just before falling asleep one night. The next morning, get this, Mr. Eby's Bible opened to the story of the wedding at Cana. This is true. He felt strongly impressed by God. It would indeed take millions of volts to transform water into wine at Cana. In fact, God questioned him that day, "Did I not use six pots, big ones? Was it not my power that changed the water?" One thing led to another. And one of Eby's team members shortly took a trip, finding some Middle Eastern pottery in Egypt. Eby told him to make a bushing or an insulator out of the same formula of this pottery he had found. The problem was solved, and Boulder Dam could now become a reality. The rest is history. That came into being. That problem was solved because of God's impressions. So follow your impressions. Just make sure they line up or agree with God's written word. God never contradicts His word. Sometimes you'll see something on TV or you'll hear something. Somebody says, well, God told me to kill my baby. That doesn't line up with the word of God. God and His word are one, so that wasn't God. That was a stranger's voice that said that. You could have a dream, and that dream could either be a soulless dream. Now, we talked about soul last week. Mind, will, and emotions. So it could be your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. That dream could be caused by fear or worry, or it could be a spirit dream given to you by God. You must divide soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions from spirit, and let God by the Holy Spirit show you if it's from Him or not. Some dreams are from God, some are not. So God could give us an impression, or He could give us a dream, and maybe you have a, I don't know if you've all ever had a really bad dream that involves something terrible happening. Bind it. When you have a dream like that, sometimes that's not the enemy. Sometimes that's God telling you, here's the plans of the enemy. And here's what I want you to do. Here's what he's trying to cause to happen. And I'm showing you, here's what he's trying to do. Now I want you to take authority in the realm of the Spirit. And I want you to bind this thing from happening. No, it's not going to be this way. We think because a dream is supernatural, we think a lot of times, well, it's going to come to pass just because I dreamed it. No, the evil things are not supposed to come to pass. We're supposed to stop them. In the name of Jesus, with the authority God is showing us, revealing those things to us, so that we can take our authority and stop those things. Bind wrong outcomes and plead the blood over it when you first wake up. John 10:27 again, New Living. My sheep listen. They recognize my voice. And I know them and they follow me. See, God puts thoughts in our minds. And we wonder, was that God? Well, does it line up with the Word? Do we have peace about it? God will confirm it to us in more than one way. Sometimes through more than one person. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Sometimes God has to say things over and over so it'll be plain to us. He's not trying to hide it from us. He's trying to show it to us. Sometimes in a dream. Sometimes through the mouth of someone that doesn't even live for Him. Now see, a lot of people can't receive that. A lot of people say, whoa, Pastor, whoa. God can't speak through somebody that don't live for Him. He can speak through a donkey. He can speak through a non-Christian. And He can give you the direction you need if you're listening and you're God's sheep. You hear God's voice. Sometimes He could give you a vision or a mini vision. Our minds sometimes prevent us from understanding what we're hearing. So God has to come to us in many ways in order to get His Word to us. Hebrews 3:15. While it is said today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. I want to expand on this one in a second. In the Evangelical Heritage Version, it says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Now I'm going to give you the most literal translation of this verse that I could find. It's today when you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, not if. Today when you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, this minister was talking about, he was out he's a Christian, he's not a minister. He's out with his family at a restaurant, and he keeps being drawn to this. There was this elderly lady eating her food or whatever at a distant table, and his mind keeps going to this elderly lady, and he's wondering, Lord, you know, am I supposed to encourage her in some way? Because he kept feeling like he was supposed to encourage her. And that's one of the ways that this scripture comes into pass. It says, but would I harden my heart to it? Would I harden my heart to God's encouraging word for this woman? Let me let that sink in for a minute. Because sometimes we harden our hearts. God's given us a word of encouragement to speak to somebody, but we say, yeah, they don't need it. They're doing good. Everything's good. I just saw them the other day. I know they're impressed. I just can't get them off my mind. No. Everything's good with them. See, that's natural reasoning. That's our soul pulling down what the Spirit is trying to get us to say. That impression of the Spirit. Well, what he did is he said, Lord, if you want me to do it, I'm gonna say what you've given me. And he said, while he's eating, he's really just praying while he's eating, Lord, give me the exact right words to say to this lady. And make a way that he's not doing it himself, but make a way where she's like right in front of him and the Holy Spirit just makes the way. You know, the Holy Spirit does that. Well, she stopped and turned around, and he said, excuse me. He said, you don't know me. And he said, this may seem a little strange, but when you were in the restaurant, she had just stepped outside. The Lord began to talk to me about you, and I wanted to tell you what he said. She seemed confused, but she stopped and listened. I continued, the Lord said he's seen your tears and your loneliness, and he's going to bring help for you. I even saw someone in the military coming to you. She started to cry. What is this? She asked. I've never heard anything like this before, she said with tears in her eyes. Does it mean anything to you? I asked her. Yes, it does. 3 weeks ago, I buried my husband. We always came to this restaurant every week on this day. I'm so lonely. And I have a son who is in the military, she continued. He told her something about somebody in the military and you're going to receive help. Well, I just wanted you to know that God sees you and knows about your loneliness. And he wanted me to encourage you and to let you know that help is on the way. She was nearly speechless, didn't know how to respond. She told me that she was a Christian and she prayed a lot to God lately. I ended the conversation well with, God wants you to know that he's watching out for you and he hadn't forgotten about you. I'll see you later. Now, he says, there have been many times when I've hardened my heart when God spoke to me. Sometimes I have the strongest impression to do something, but then I talk myself out of it. Have you ever done that? I have. I've talked myself out of things that I know the Lord told me to do. That sounds too familiar. He may give you a suggestion or impression. You should talk to a certain person, make a phone call, or simply to tell someone in the church that you're praying for them. Maybe it's just thought that you should smile at your cashier or tell him or her, it looks like you're having a hard day. It must be a tough job. I'll pray for you tonight. God puts those thoughts into our minds all the time. It's His voice, but it's very easy to harden our heart because of fear, because a lot of times we won't step out and give that word because we're afraid. We're afraid if they won't receive it. Hebrews 3:15 again. So today, when you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. See, God doesn't want us just to hear His voice for ourselves, but He wants us to hear His voice so we can be used by Him to encourage others. He will give an encouraging word to you to give to somebody else. Okay, now here's what I know. I know today there's a corporate anointing. I know that this is the right message. And I know for sure, absolutely, this is the message for today. Because I thought it. I said, I teach about hearing the voice of God a lot. And they may not receive it. And the Lord just kept showing me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about them. You do what I'm telling you to do. And you leave the results of the people, the sheep, to me. You preach and teach what I told you to preach and teach. And we're all good. Now, I know in my heart, God is wanting to have more people operate even, I'm going to say, in the gift of prophecy and given words, because to others in the body and to those not in the body, to those in Walmart, to those on your job, that God is wanting to open this up. There's a corporate anointing, if you will, today to open this up in a greater measure in your life. You say, well, that's not in operation in my life, and I don't even know if I want that. Well, God's saying He wants you to have it because He's got people that are at the end of their rope, and He needs you to give them hope to get up higher on that rope. He needs you and me to give them hope through words that He may give you a scripture. And just you just can't get this scripture off your mind, and you know this scripture is for somebody else. Now hang on. Okay, I got to make sure there's no religious thought processes here. Because religious thought processes, I'm going to give them a scripture. I'm going to tell them what they're doing wrong. I'm going to show them what they're doing wrong. I'm going to bust their head. No, that's a soulish. That's a soulish. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions trying to handle a situation that you can't handle. That only the Spirit can handle. We think our words are going to do it, but it's going to take God's word. And it's going to take not one word more than God's Word, and not one word less than God's Word, exactly what His Word. And I promise you, it's going to be something that's going to encourage or lift or edify them. But sometimes we harden our hearts. We allow fear or unbelief to stop us. This guy was in a service, him and his family. And he's going to leave this. They're going out of the service. Service is ending. And this lady comes up to him and his family and said, "This is going to sound strange to you, but I'm supposed to tell you this. God's light is shining all over you." Well, how hard was that? That's a good thing. That's a good word. That's a scriptural-based word. You can find it in Isaiah. God's light is shining all over you. Well, if that had been us a lot of times, that had been pastor a lot of times, I'd talk myself out of giving it to somebody. I know one time I was in Dollar General. This has been a few years ago. And the Lord told me, this guy walked down the aisle at Dollar General, and he said, "I want you to encourage that man." And I knew it on the inside of me. Just speak something encouraging. I said, "Well, I don't know exactly what to say." You know, you just have to start. You know what encouragement is, and I know what encouragement is. And so I just said something encouraging and uplifting to this man. I don't know him. I've never seen him before in my life. The next thing I know, he's telling me that he had been diagnosed with cancer. And this is the second time that he had been diagnosed with it, and he didn't think he was going to make it. And I realized that God had me in that place, and he was trying. You understand, God's trying to get us in places and around people to give them words. But first of all, the devil blinds the eyes of our understanding. He tells us, "You can't hear God. You can't give somebody else a word. You're not even hearing God." But the Word says, "My sheep hear my voice." That's the Word. That's the highest form of reality that exists. And we do hear His voice. God's light is shining all over you today. This lady gave him this. Him and his family had just moved to this area. He was in this church service. They hadn't been there long. They'd been there just a little bit. And as they were leaving the church service or whatever, they got pulled over. And he was like, "Oh my God." He said, they're not licensed properly. They didn't have enough money. God told them to move to this other place, and they didn't have enough money to get all of their stuff done, and they hadn't been able to do it yet. And him and her were talking, "If this policeman realizes that we have a license in one state and we have the vehicle registered in another state, we're fixing to get a big ticket." It was a $600 ticket. And the policeman pulled him over, and he said, he asked them all the questions. They said, "No, I'm sorry, we don't." And he said, "You know, you're not legal." He said, "So I'm going to go back to my car and I'm going to write your tickets out." They said, "Okay." And they're like, "What are we going to do?" And then they heard this little buzz go off on his police vehicle. They didn't know what it was, just static. And next thing you know, he comes over to their car and he says, "God's light is shining all over you today." He said, "Because I just got a call and somebody just had a wreck and I got to go." He said, "So you just get this straightened out whenever you can, as soon as you can, and I'm not giving you a ticket today." Now, you can say what you want to. God's light is shining all over you today. The very word that he just got from oh, that's a coincidence. Really? No, it was God. Someone allowed God to use them to give somebody else a word. God will speak to each of us in His own way. But He'll impress us to give somebody a word of hope, a word of scriptures. We just need to follow those impressions. When we do, His word won't return void. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Now, when I was studying and reading and praying, there was a scripture that had nothing to do with this. I mean, it has nothing to do with anything that I'm teaching today. But this scripture, I couldn't put it down. So I'm going to give this scripture today because this is a word for somebody today in this place. Okay, I've never seen this before. It's Acts 17, 26 through 28. Here's what it says. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them. Now here's the word. And the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out to Him and find Him, though He's not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and we have our being. So, the word is, there's an exact place. Somebody's looking for an exact place. God's got an exact place for you to live. And you've been praying about it, and God is saying, okay, the Lord knows, that's right. I'm telling you, God has got an exact place for you to live. And that's the word of the Lord to you today. Deuteronomy 4 and 29, and I'm coming to a close. But thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if you seek Him with all your heart, with all your soul. And John 10 and 27 again, in closing. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Ask y'all to stand. Glory to God.